Learning to use the computer. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing, sharing with you instant inspiration, learning to use the computer. We oftentimes do everything for other people, and we take away their privilege of having a learning experience. We'll go to them and they'll ask us, how do you do this on the computer? How do you do that? And our fingers will just flash across the keyboard, making it happen. And they'll say, what did you do? What did you do? And we have to slow down and tell them exactly what we did and how we did it. But that doesn't always happen too easily. We are so proficient in our work that we don't do that. How many good teachers are there in the world? How many teachers are there in the world who take time to teach the student or who just want to show off what they know? Most people are just show-offs. They show off what they know. They do what they want to do, and they have not got the patience to work with somebody else and show them how to do it. And lacking the patience, naturally, you are not a good teacher. Because the teacher has to remember how it was when they were learning and how they had to learn step by step, idea by idea, and thought by thought. And if you work too fast, then it's just, not just a minute, just a minute. I didn't get that. Are you stupid? Are you slow? My gosh, I've been there back around the block a couple times. Yeah, but you've been working on it for years. I'm just starting. And it's so easy for us to become careless and think that we have to tell people how to do these things, that we have to tell people that they have to go step by step, because we want them to have a good foundation in whatever it is they're learning. Now, Ellen has a wonderful opportunity to share with Dodie how to use the computer. And one of the ways to share with her how to use the computer is to show her how to get onto the internet and how to pull up the programs. And every day, spending 5 or 15 minutes showing her how to do this would be a great idea. And another wonderful idea to show her how to get into Mr. Candle. And let her see Mr. Candle and hear Mr. Candle in all of its wonderful splendor, and realize that Mr. Candle is not something that you just put on when somebody wants it. It's put on when somebody wants it because you feel the sensitivity they're wanting it, but just because you want it, you're not a performing bear, you know, you're not something that is just going to get up and say, Herb talk, Herb sit down, Herb shut up, Herb do this, Herb do that. I mean, if that is what your estimation is of your share, then I will stop doing them altogether. Now, I'm doing them as a teaching procedure, as a teaching tool. And when they exist, it's so easy just to go into the computer and pull them up and listen to them. Now, of the 60 to 80 Mr. Candle talks that are in there, how many have you listened to? How many have you pulled up? How many have you really taken the time to hear what they are? Some of them are very good, some of them are ordinary, but how many have you taken the time to listen to? Now, you have the opportunity to pull them up. You have the opportunity to do that and see it. Now, how many of your own talks have you listened to? How many times have you listened to your own talk and critiqued it? And listened to it and said, oh man, I was good. Or, oh man, I have a lot of polishing to do. Or, I wonder what my point was. I remember something vaguely of what my point was, but I didn't put it in the talk very well. I didn't have a point. Whenever you give a talk, you write down the title and your point. And then you keep coming back to your point. You keep coming back to your point, and my point is learning to use the computer. And if you're going to help people learn to use the computer, give them an inspiration for using it. Give them an encouragement for using it by letting them go in and listen to the talks or listen to the lectures or listen to hey, you want to hear something real stupid? Here's the talk I gave yesterday. You know? And I didn't write down any notes. I didn't keep track of any. I didn't come back again and again and again to the subject. I was always floating away from the subject. I never got around to repeating what the subject was. And the lecture was just a big fiasco. Ellen?
Yes.
What is the rule about giving a talk?
Say what you want to say. Say it.
Say what you say.
And say what you said.
Oh, dear. We have only said that 3 million times. What is it called, Ellen?
An outline.
And what is the outline for?
To give myself direction in giving a good talk.
And what is it that you have in an outline?
An introduction, the main part, and a conclusion.
And what's another way of saying it? Say?
Say what you want to say, say it, and say what you have said.
Say what you want to say. In other words, learning to use the computer, that's what I want to say. And when I conclude, what do I say?
What you have said.
Learning to use the computer. Today, we have learned how to use the computer a little bit. Now, what goes on in the body? Learning to use the computer is a lot of fun. Because when we're learning to use a computer, we're opening our mind to a whole new field of understanding, to the imagination that is bottled up in the computer. And we press buttons as we're learning to use a computer and find that magic, the magic world of color and form come out. And as we type on there, we think, oh, hey, that's such a little type. And then we find that there's a button that we press to make it big type, so that we have it spread across the screen, big and clear. We don't even need our glasses. We're learning to use the computer and figure, you see, learning to use the computer, learning to use, did you ever feel while I was saying this that I said learning to use the computer too often? No, because it fits right in with the top. So when you're giving a talk, you want to give a talk and be consistent. Always keep your title. So when someone is done hearing you give a talk, they know what your talk was about, learning to use a computer. They know what your talk was all about. But sometimes you get so excited and the illustrations are so compelling that people say, oh, what was the talk about? Oh, a little girl who was missing her mother. Or a little girl who put a note on the street and met a person. That's not what the talk was about. The talk was about how children can so readily release friendships and experiences in their life and move on to other areas. Wasn't that what the talk was about? Now, as far as the listener is concerned, he's going to hear, think it's about a little girl dropping a note on the sidewalk so she can make friends. A little girl dropping a note, and then she has one friend, and she has another friend, and she has these different friends. But that wasn't what it was about. It was about how a little girl, how a child or a youngster can have many deep emotional friendships. And when the friendship comes to an end, they can move right along and go into the next one without being all torn up about it. They might, if they were really close, they might feel, oh, my mommy's gone. Where's my mommy? You know, my mommy. Because they had a very close relationship there. But when another mommy comes along or another person comes along and fills the gap, they go on. Can I have my afternoon walk? Can I have my afternoon milk? Can I have my whatever? You know, they ask for the things that their mommy had given them. And then that sort of fills the gap too. But children are able to move on from one emotional relationship to another without having a lot of hang-ups about it. And this is a wonderful thing. This is what the story was about. Now, Sylvia, she gave a talk about plants. And as she was giving a talk about plants, she was saying, some plants are easy to grow. Now, in her talk, she kept coming back to some plants are easy to grow. Some plants are easy to grow. So she had her outline and she was sticking to it. And sometimes when you give an illustration, you are so excited about the illustration, mm-hmm. you forget what the illustration was supposed to illustrate.
Yeah.
The illustration of the little girl was supposed to illustrate that she was able to move from one relationship to another. And in part, it was quite clear. And in another part, it wasn't. And Ellen, in her illustrations, she sometimes gets so excited about the illustration, she forgets the point. And she's not alone there. But this is the art of being a good storyteller. Use an outline. This is the art of being a good speaker. Use an outline. This is the art of being a good writer. Use an outline. This is the art of being a good mother. Use the outline. And that's true. That's true. A good mother who has an outline, and the outline goes like this. I am the mother. I am responsible to see that the child learns the things that are going to make it comfortable for her in her life. I am responsible to see that the child does not go and do things that are harmful to her. I am the person who is going to make her feel loved, wanted, protected, and, you know, comforted, and all those good things. You know. So then you give a story on how you beat the daylights out of the kid, and how you're always mopping at him, you're always hollering at him, you're always knocking him down, and so forth. And then you think, now, am I fulfilling the outline that I had? Whoops, I better make a few little changes here. And so you begin to make a few little changes, and the few little changes are based on your outline. And so you perhaps the first point of the outline should be this. Every child is a person and deserves all the respect and all of the attention that a person would get. And it's not a matter how old the child is or how young the child is, but every child is a person and deserves respect. So if you treat the child as a person, and the child says, I want to go to the movie, I want to see this, you say, no, I don't think that movie is one I would like to go see, and I certainly know it's not good for you to see. But I want to go. Sweetheart, I have just told you you're not going, and I told you the reason. But I want to go. Sweetheart, if you persist in telling me you want to go after I told you you're not going to go, you may go to your room. But I want to go. Go to your room. And you stay in your room, and I'll come and get you when it's time for you to come out. And so the mother goes about making dinner and preparing things, and when she's done, she goes up and says, okay, sweetheart, come on out now and wash your face and your hands and let's have dinner. I don't want dinner. I think you want dinner. You come out right now. If you don't eat, that's your business, but you come and sit at the table with me. In calm peacefulness, not, you damn kid, you didn't do it, I told you, you're terrible. None of that nonsense. Just, hey, that's all forgotten already. It's all forgotten about why you were in your room. It's all forgotten about any of these things. I don't hold a grudge. And then the child comes to the table and sees the mother doesn't hold a grudge. And forgets all about how difficult the situation might have been. And all is in perfect order. And so it is. You see, learning to use the computer is really a wonderful art. And in learning to use the computer, first we have to learn to be a teacher. And the teacher says, here are the instructions on how to learn to do the computer. If you will take this manual and read it, you can learn. If you will take this teacher, this person who's going to show you how, you'll learn it. If you will fuddle through yourself, like all the children do, and adults, reading instructions is an anathema to humanity, apparently. But if you will just muddle through, you'll come out and you say, this is fun. Oh, what all the things I can do here. Man, this is really great. And that's what learning to use the computer is all about. Learning to enjoy the tool that you have at your fingertips. So, learn to enjoy the computer and have yourself a great time. I love you.